from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
Even now, there was an economy. It wasn't based on information, money, or creativity. It was life. Life.
Those are the words of award-winning San Francisco choreographer Robert Moses, set to music for his new production, Bootstrap Tales, at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. He'll join us in studio to talk about the show and his work with Foster Youth, which inspired it. Then at 10:30, we look at how taxi drivers are coping in the era of Uber and Lyft.
The economic pressures are just incredible. Drivers have lost maybe a third to a half of their income.
Join us next, right after this. Robert Moses is the choreographer and artistic director of the influential San Francisco dance company, Robert Moses' Kin, which he founded back in 1995. The company is recipient of 7 Isadora Duncan Dance Awards, among many other honors, and his latest work is called Bootstrap Tales, inspired by the company's new outreach initiative for foster youth. Called the Bootstrap Program, it seeks to expose foster youth to the process of creating a life in the arts. And Robert Moses joins us in the studio for a conversation not only about the program and the new work, which features the music of local street musicians. We're also joined by Renee Espinosa of San Francisco's court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, one of the foster youth advocacy groups participating in the Bootstrap program. And welcome back to Forum, Robert Moses. Been too long. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to see you, Renee Espinosa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this partnership first and how it came about.
Well, I had the idea that I wanted to revisit how it was that the service component of what we do as an arts organization was put together. I wanted to find something that was more organic, to use that word that I think is overused, but to find something that was more organic for us, something that would allow us to avoid rebuilding the wheel every time we had a different project. And I thought that I would approach the foster care community. So first, the first thing I did was I approached Barrett Johnson at the city's human service agencies. And we had a couple of meetings with him about who the folks were in town who we would have a good and natural partnership with. And we had some conversations with them and moved forward from there. The project itself came up because I was thinking of this idea of having the reason that it makes sense for me is because I was thinking of this idea of having to sort of move yourself forward, to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, as the title indicates or says. And that, who is in the position of having to do that more often or more immediately than youth who are in the system and maybe transitioning out of the system? And thought, well, how is it that we can make it possible for them to do that? And so then the idea of partnering with these organizations, putting the idea of a life in the arts in front of these folks, in front of the kids, in front of the new adults, the young adults, and the breadth of what a life in the arts could be for them and the independence that it might provide them, and that all just seemed like a natural place to start.
Well, of course, I want to find out how this was interpreted into the dance and choreography work that you've done in the Bootstrap Tales, but let me go first to Renee Espinosa, who is also here with us in studio. How does this work out for these young people? I mean, unfortunately, with fewer grant money, there's fewer jobs in the arts to begin with. But did you find many of them were really, I imagine they'd be very stimulated by Robert Moses and the work he does. How did it turn out?
I think, you know, when Robert first approached us, it was, as he said, really organic. And he came to us because he had resources. He had a space. He had facilities. He had connections. And he came to the different programs in the collaborative and said, I want to help. But he approached us in a way of like, this is what I have. How can you utilize it? And it was a great partnership because he didn't come with sort of set expectations around, I want to do specifically this. He approached the group in a way that said, I have these resources. I know that you serve a population that could really benefit. And so how can we work together? And I think that's what's really been wonderful about this partnership is that we've been able to grow the collaborative together and really look at how to serve young people.
How many kids were involved?
We're still working on how we are engaging multiple young people in the program.
And Robert was kind of shocked, I think I read, when he found out a lot of these kids don't live in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges is there's just under 1,000 young people in foster care in San Francisco. But unfortunately, with the housing costs and just cost of living in the city, 60% of our young people, when they're brought into care, are actually placed outside of the county because there is no housing for them. There's no foster homes. There's no group homes available for them. So we're seeing young people placed as far off as Sacramento and Modesto.
Now, we've done a lot of programs on foster kids, and there's really no social net for them, no safety net, excuse me. I mean, once they're released, they're out there, and there are, you know, some serious problems and challenges. You got inspired by this. I mean, how did it tie into your work, and how did it tie into the vision that you gave to this production of Bootstrap Tales?
Well, there's no single straight line that leads from the impulse to the action to the result. In speaking with Renee, some of the things that I was feeling about it, Renee was able to sort of confirm in terms of, I don't want to call it lack of stability because these kids are in caring situations, but we were talking, and I think there's an example of one youth who moved 17 times. Was that it? They moved 17 times. And I think, well, how can you, where do you get a sense of your own space? Where do you get a sense of being grounded? Where do you get a sense of home when you're moving like that, and you're moving and you're not even really in the place that you grew up and you're dislocated? So that kind of thing is an impulse that might generate an idea about how we deal with the space, about the kind of energy that the dancers have when they're moving, about how much they move, about the lack of stillness, maybe about stillness, maybe about isolation. And that's where it might start. And then the emotional tone comes out of that. And we just sort of push forward from there. The title Bootstrap Tales, I did about 3 years ago, 3 years ago, I did a work called 21 Fully Realized Incomplete Thoughts. And for that work, I went back to my notebooks and just started pulling out ideas that I had written down over 21 years. And this was one of the titles that I had written down, and I thought, well, I need to explore this. And so when I was thinking about who is always or who is sometimes on that edge, who needs to be a self-starter, right? Who's the startup? Who's the personal startup? And I thought about the foster care. I thought about
We also must have thought about street musicians.
Yes.
I think I anticipated you there because you got the street musicians into this too,
right? And that's a really interesting thing. You bring up the fact that my misconceptions, my preconceptions, sort of having been blown out of the water, and then talking with folks over the last 6 months or so, and trying to collect some of the sound that we're using. It's a completely different reason and way that people spend their time on the streets playing music or generating music or being performers on the street, and how they handle the people that watch them, their audiences or their customers, what their business is like. It's really, really striking. And that they all have their own particular sense of the way their life should be or their code. So there was one gentleman who I was really very interested in working with, and I spoke to him a number of times. He's sort of moving around, and I said, okay, let's really talk about this. Let's exchange text messages and or numbers, and I will call you today about getting together to do this thing. And so the way what happens is your day gets busy, and you think, okay, I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. Well, I hadn't called him or texted him by the point that he thought that I should have. So about 9 o'clock that night, I looked at my phone and I had a text. And the text said to me, it said, "You did not keep your word. I'm out." And I thought, wow, this guy has really high standards. I did not get back to him in time. And so he cut me off right at off at the knee. So I thought, well, this is, I really have to sort of figure out how it is I'm thinking about how I'm managing these things.
Well, you also had to keep track. I mean, street musicians aren't necessarily in a stable place or, I mean, they're not, some of them couldn't even be tracked down and so forth. It was enterprising of you, I think, to take on that project and to bring it, and also had the good help, I know, of Munoz, B.C. Munoz, as music director. Actually, let's hear a little bit of this music, and this is from Bootstrap Tales.
Other people in the form of information. Even now, there was an economy. It wasn't based on information.
That's actually a clip called Zombie, and it's comprised of a text by Robert Moses and performed by P.C. Munoz. I got to see some of this, and I must tell you, it's the synchronization, the solo parts, I mean, both also with the gracefulness and the tightness of the choreography. I mean, it's really a testament to your work, and I want to say I've been an admirer of your work for a long time here. And I want to give listeners an opportunity to talk with you. There's not only an opportunity to talk about the dance and what Robert Moses Kinn has brought to the Bay Area and well beyond it, but also the innovative nature of what he's done. There's a whole history of it going back. Actually, goes back. We were talking before we went on the air about the fact that he was a year with Twyla Tharp, who I had the privilege of interviewing once. But he also worked with Alvin Ailey, and he worked with some of the greats here in the Bay Area. I mean, you've got a terrific Bay Area community, Brenda Way and Lonzo King. I'd like to hear, in fact, from people who have some thoughts about dance or questions about dance, but also questions for, we're lucky enough to have Renee Espinosa with us as well, executive director of San Francisco CASA. And as I told her before we went on the air, CASA is definitely on the side of the angels and working with foster youth and so forth. Some of you may indeed want to bring that into the conversation. So we've got two prongs here that we can actually bring to the fore, and we welcome your questions or comments, and you can bring them to the fore right now. Toll-free number is available to you. Let me tell you how you can join the program. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. And again, you can join us live at that number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, if you have questions or comments for Robert Moses or Renee Espinosa. You can also join us by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You've seen the production, Renee, and your thoughts about it?
I haven't seen the production. I will be there this weekend, so I'm very, very, very excited.
Well, what are you thinking may come out of it in terms of just really what Robert was able to absorb from the youth that he worked with and everything? What do you hope will come out of it?
Obviously, inspiration. I think, you know, one of the things that we do in working with our young people is really helping them. We take a strength-based approach and really helping them to identify their passion project or their identity project. Research has shown that if young people have a passion or can identify with something, then they're more likely to succeed. And this is something that the Bootstrap Collaborative has been working toward.
That's another question I'd like to put out to listeners. I know many of you work with young people and many of you are involved in the arts. And just many of you as parents may have some thoughts again about how to encourage young people more to be attracted to the arts. And again, it comes back in my mind too. We've discussed this a bit. Maybe some of you, either of you, want to weigh in on this about the need for more funding in the arts. If kids are going to find careers there, they're going to have to be the funding.
Yes, well, of the need for more funding for the arts, there's no doubt. The fact that the arts are leverage to improve lives, there's no doubt of that either, that it improves society, the culture.
Improves academic performance.
Academic performance.
Emotional stability.
Personal lives. All of that is true. And what I think part of what we're doing here is to try to say that the individual and the communities that they're able to build at the earliest possible moments are the things that are going to make a difference in their lives and in our lives. So, and where things go, we don't know, but we do know that it's a positive.
Well, again, we'd like to hear from you, our listeners, on that as well. And if you have something you'd like to contribute in the way of conversation that we're having, our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. And here's Robert. Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, this is Robert, and I work in the foster program with Renee, who's fantastic. Hi, Renee. And
hello.
I just want to say that, you know, this is a great idea. The youth that I work with love the arts, and they are amazing in their edge of sports. So I just think it's a great idea.
Okay. And it has turned into a great idea in the sense that it is going to be available to be seen tomorrow. That is, I'm talking about Bootstrap Tales here, through Sunday at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts Theater in San Francisco. And you can get tickets or look for tickets at ybca.org. How do you go about – go ahead, Robert.
Let me just say that when we say the arts, that we're trying to – when we say we're trying to expand horizons, what I mean is that what we're trying to do is, to a certain extent, strengthen what's already there in the kids. So if by example, you have a child who's been drawing since they were 12 and maybe they're going to age out at 18 or 21, or that's been writing text or poems or something, and they don't quite have an understanding of how that interest, how their interest in those areas can turn into something else. This is what the collaborative is about. It's about trying to say to them, you already know a lot. You are skilled at this. You are in a way the expert in what you do because you've been doing it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and that all you need now is an avenue to drive down in order to share this with people. And what we want to do is to show you some of those ways
to go. But you want to expose them to something in many instances. Some of them may not have had any familiarity, for example, with the dance, and they get it through this.
Right. But what I want to be specific about is that the performance aspect of this is just an aspect. The idea is that there's so much more to this. Yeah, maybe you want to perform, but there are so many people who are involved in what we do that don't perform. There are, as I said, costume designers and writers and PR people, marketing people, the skills that you develop by remanaging or managing your network, the people that you have. Oh, we're having, hey, we're going to, there's going to be a party. Let's see how many people we can shove into this house. Well, let me just talk to you about the network that you use to promote that house party somewhere. That means you have all the basic skills to start your life in this area. So the idea is that it's not just about, and I'm a dancer choreographer, so I'm nobody's more excited about performance and dance than me. But the idea is that there is more living in these kids than we know, and we want to let them know what all of that stuff is.
So you're talking about enhancing skills, but also, let me turn to Renee on this, Renee Espinoza. I mean, do you want these skills definitely to lead to some kind of career path, that's the trajectory you're looking for, or just getting kids interested in the arts and developing their own skills for their own self-development?
I think it's both. And like I said, research has shown that young people that have passion projects or identity projects, they are able to create goals for themselves. A lot of times with young people in foster care, they're thinking about tomorrow and if they're coming home and their bags are packed and they're leaving to the next foster home. So the idea of setting long-term goals a month, a year, or 3 years out can be a challenge for them. And so when they have a passion project to really establish those goals is something that we're really trying to work with. So like Robert said, it could be in dance or it could be a technical aspect of dance, whether it's lighting or writing or music. But being exposed and having access to the arts is something that we really want to promote.
Well, I've got a caller on the line here, Kathleen, who joins us. And Kathleen, you were part of the foster system, foster care?
Yes. Myself and my brothers and sisters were all in the foster care system for a few years. And I wouldn't say that they served us correctly, but we as adults now, we found a way to heal some of the problems that, some of the problems that the foster care system has been accused of in the past. The programs that are in place now are wonderful, and I think things like that. What really caught my ear was when you said the children moving around 17 times and things like that. That was something that I could experience and relate to.
You think that if you had programs like you're hearing about in this segment of ours, it would have made a great difference in your life or your siblings' lives?
I'm sure it would have. My sister and I, we were in foster care, and we both we were chosen to go to the in grade school, go to the University of Washington with an art scholarship, but they could only choose one. So they chose my older sister. And circumstances, we both, because of bad circumstances, I don't think it's because of the circumstances, but it just wasn't nurtured our art our creativity in art and music and things like that. Now we do it, but it wasn't nurtured back then. There were just survival skills were more important.
Well, Renee, you've kind of intimated. You think things are a lot better now for foster kids?
I don't know if they're any better. I think we're trying to make them better. I think we're trying to recognize that basic needs are not enough for our young people, that they need more, that they need to have goals, they need to have inspiration, and people need to listen to our young people and really look at and build up their strengths and really what they're good at. I think a side effect to having these passion projects and working with the Bootstrap Collaborative is it also allows and provides community for our young people. When they're moving around so many different times, they're no longer in their community of origin. They're no longer in their school. They don't have their peer group. They're obviously removed from their home. And so they don't have a community. And getting involved in the arts have very strong communities. And you work together. You struggle together. And it's a tight-knit community. And so it also provides community and opportunity.
But, you know, Robert was talking before about networks. This also provides an opportunity for them to talk to each other and connect with each other in terms of their foster care experience. Yeah?
It does. It does. And it provides an amazing peer group for them.
Again, we're talking with Renee Espinoza, Executive Director of San Francisco CASA, SF CASA, and Robert Moses, Choreographer and Artistic Director, whose Bootstrap Tales will be performed at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts February 23rd to February 25th. Comment from a listener who tweets, so grateful to your guests and want to give a shout out to the Industrial Arts Program for Youth and Adults at the Crucible in Oakland. It's a magical place. Talking about magical places. Where'd you get the name Robert Moses' kin? They're all kin to you, all kinfolk, your whole troupe, everybody involved?
Yeah, the idea, we didn't call it a company because when we started, we realized we were a group of individuals who had a bunch of skills we just wanted to sort of pour into this thing that we were doing. And the word kin for me really sort of brings to mind the familial link that we all have, whether sometimes it's strained or not, whether sometimes you need a little space or not, and those times when you're included. So,
well, you have done some masterful work, and I commend you for your career, and it's delightful and privileged to have you with us. Good luck with this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as I said, CASA, Renee, I can't say enough good things about the work CASA does, so thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here, Robert Moses and Renee Espinoza. And when we return, we're going to go in a very different direction. We're going to talk about the grim reality for Bay Area taxi drivers. Stay tuned for that. It's up ahead.